Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Matt, for leading us in worship. Let's pray as we get ready to open God's Word. Father, we thank you and praise you. There's no one like you. You are great and awesome. And I pray that as we think and let the words that we just sang kind of sink into our hearts, may we understand and know that you're the only thing we can build our lives on. We sang you're the cornerstone. If we're going to build anything and on anything, may we be like Moses, the prophets, the apostles, on Jesus Christ. Open our eyes to how amazing he is. And open our eyes to your word, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, you're ready to get a little crazy this morning? We're going to get a little crazy because we're looking at six verses. Watch out. We've just been doing one, we've been doing two, and Greg has leased or loosed the craziness. And we'll be in 17 through 23. The title for this morning's sermon, sorry, Amanda, I changed it last minute this morning. It is Standing Against False Teachers. Okay, let's just do a quick recap where we've been here. This next slide shows us all the different things that we've been looking at the last couple times we've been together in Jude, right? Greg has walked us through two sets of threes. And it's interesting that Jude kind of does this. What he has been doing in the last section we're just coming out of is he's been talking to his readers and he's been explaining the reality that there are false teachers who've come in. They've snuck in. They're like spies. Okay. Some of the wording that he uses is the idea of a slick lawyer. A slick lawyer can go into a courtroom. He can use his words in a way that just convinces people of his point of view or how he views things or how he wants you to view things, right? And so he uses these examples, the rebellious Israelites, the rebellious angels and spiritual beings, Sodom and Gomorrah, okay? These are all people or groups of people or groups of beings that rebelled against God, that didn't do what he wanted them to do. They just resisted and they disobeyed. And he's showing these to show his readers how has God dealt with these people in the past. Well, he's judged them. He is a good judge, and we looked at that. And he's trying to bring awareness, but also comfort to his readers, right? He goes on to Cain. Cain did things his own way, right? And then when God comes to Cain and in his mercy and grace says, hey, Cain, watch out. Sin is crouching at your door. What a merciful and gracious thing, right? Cain hardens his heart. Cain closes his ears, right? And so some of these things, as he's describing these people from the past, he's saying these are the things you look for in false teachers, okay? False teachers are rebellious. They don't care about God and what he has said in his word. They're actually going against God's word. They're actually promoting going against his authority, right? They're using different things to God's grace, especially to make it okay for them to sin, especially with their sinful desires and sexual desires. And so that's why he uses Sodom and Gomorrah. That's why he used the angels or spiritual beings. He's getting them to remember so that they can see what's happening right now. Okay? Balaam, he was all about the money. And so he would he had an opportunity, and he took it to curse Israel so that he could get money. And that's what the false teachers were doing, right? They're doing what they're doing to fleece the people, to get rich. And then finally, Korah, he led a rebellion against Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, and got a group of people to try and go against God's leader. Okay, and so these false teachers are teaching crazy things about Jesus, who is the cornerstone of the faith. They're teaching crazy things about the apostles. And so you can start to see the connections, right? So now we go to our passage, and in our passage, he'll just kind of remind them of something really quick, but then now we're going to be more positive. These are the things that you look out for in false teachers. Now we're going to look at how do we stand against false teachers. Sound good? So let's read this passage here, Jude 17 through 23. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions. They're worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. They're that way, but you, beloved, my brothers and sisters in Christ, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. So standing against false teachers. Several things that we can see, and you're going to see this morning, I'm kind of excited because, I mean, I worked and I studied, but you're going to be like, man, Darren, it's just right there. Well, it is. It's just right there. It's awesome. Look at this. Here's the first thing. Paul tells his readers, you have to remain vigilant. If we want to stand against false teachers, we have to remain vigilant. Check it out, 17 through 19. He says, my dear friends, you must remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ predicted. They told you that in the last times there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is to satisfy their ungodly desires. These people are the ones who are creating divisions, right? He's reminding them, okay, we're moving from these false teachers and what they look like and examples. And he says, hey, guys, just a reminder, the apostles have warned us about these people. Remain vigilant. They've been in the past, they're now, and they will be in the future. Be on guard. Okay? Let's look here. It's interesting because if we see, not only did Jesus' apostles warn, Jesus himself warned about this. Look at Mark 13. This is just one example. Jesus is talking. He says, then if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or look, here he is, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be on guard. I have told you all things beforehand. So even from Jesus' mouth, he's like, there will be people who are against me, antichrist, and they are going to speak and teach and just rebel. And their whole goal is to get believers, the beloved of Jesus Christ, to fall away, or to walk away, or to believe things that aren't true. And so Jesus warned his disciples. Look at what the apostles said. Here's Acts 20. Paul is on his way to Jerusalem, and he stops, and he meets with the pastors of Ephesus. And he says this to them, the elders, pay careful attention to yourselves and all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, check this out, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. That's pretty graphic, isn't it? And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. That sounds like what Jude's writing about, isn't it? Be careful. Be vigilant. even people from your own pastoral team are going to try and create divisions and pull people to themselves. Instead of pointing them to Jesus, they're going to try and lure you to have it be all about them. That's dangerous. Be vigilant. Be on your guard. Let's look at what Peter the apostle said. John. He said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already." So Jesus said that. He's reminding them. Jude is writing this letter to these people, his brothers and sisters in Christ. And in this time, Luke is writing his gospel. Luke is writing Acts. Paul is starting to write his epistles. The apostles are telling the brothers and sisters in Christ to watch out and be vigilant. Okay, all these things are happening at the same time. So standing against false teachers involves remaining vigilant. A couple weeks ago, Debbie and I went to Florida with Tim and Amber Soy. And we went to the beach, Sanibel Captiva. And as we got there, there's a crowd of people and they're pointing. And they're speaking, they're from another country. And we look, and about this deep in water are two sharks, about 8 feet long. And so we're like, "Oh, okay, you know, there's sharks." "Oh, it's the ocean, that's where sharks live." And so we're watching. And these three girls, high school girls, come to the beach. They drop their stuff, and they run out in the water. Just run out. And so Debbie goes, "Hey, I'm just going to kind of go tell them to watch." So she goes, and she's talking to them. So I walk up there, and we're kind of cracking jokes. And they're like, "Oh, yeah, you know, we're from around here. Hey, thanks." You know. So then I look down, and three more girls come to the beach. They drop their stuff. And they're like, running. And so I go, "Hey." So I go down, and I say, "Hey, how you doing? Hey, we're from University of Cincinnati. The first time we've been to the beach. You know, awesome. I just want to let you know, people have been seeing sharks. And they're about, in water this deep, they're like 8 feet. And they're like, "Oh, thanks." You know, okay. And so as I'm talking to them, Debbie and Amber are up a little higher on the beach, and Debbie has her phone, and she's like videoing, and she's like, "Oh my word, there's two sharks right there. Do those people know that there's two sharks right there? That one shark is going right towards them. What, don't they know? Why are they in the water? Wait, that's Darren. What's he?" So what Debbie did was, she bought me something to remind me to be vigilant when I go to the beach. Okay? Isn't that smart? That's what Jude is doing. Jude is saying, "Guys, there have always been false teachers. There are false teachers now. And you know what? In 2024, when High Point Church is meeting in a school, there could be false teachers. There could be false teachers trying to get in here. And so you need to be vigilant. You need to be ready." Does that make sense? Here's the next one. Building each other up. We need to be building each other up. Check it out here. Jude says in verse 20, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith." Building yourselves up. In verse 3, he said this, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith." So he says, build each other up in the faith. Earlier he said, contend for the faith. The faith is everything we believe. It's God's revelation. God's revelation to Moses, God's revelation to other Bible writers, God's revelation to the prophets, his perfect revelation through his son Jesus Christ, his apostles contend for it. And we talked about the idea of that means training, working out, grasping, studying, knowing. It involved delivering to other people. It involved defending. Well, here he uses, he kind of adds to that, build each other up. What does that look like? Well, let's go to Acts 2:42. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So right out of the gate, as Jesus goes back to heaven, this is what the believers did. If we want to build each other up in the faith, the most holy faith, this is what it looks like. We devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching. Why is that wise? Because they devoted themselves to Jesus' teaching. They lived with Jesus. They saw Jesus. They ate with Jesus. When they wrote down, it was very close to the time when Jesus went back. There were eyewitnesses. They were eyewitnesses. We can believe what God's word says because it's so close to the people who said it, right? And so we build ourselves on that. They devoted themselves to that. Are we in God's word? Are we studying it? Are we studying it to say, okay, this is how I can apply it? And then here's the hard one, not just how can I apply it, but then, okay, so now it's time to actually do it. Am I going to do it? That's what spiritual maturity is, okay? But then to fellowship, there's this, that word, the idea is, hey, you're coming together. There's this common thing you have, and there's this partnership that you have. And so are you partnering together with people to do life? Are you partnering together with people to point people to Jesus? Are you in a connection group? Are you in a Bible study? Do you have a group of friends that encourage each other and build each other up? Okay? It's important. It's significant. The breaking of bread. Next week, we're going to have communion. Jesus said, do this until I come back in remembrance of me. Okay? Then praying. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. This could be, and I'm actually posturing that it is, the ways that we can begin to build each other up. Here's another one. Acts 17:1-3. It goes along with this. Paul says, or Luke writes, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ. Paul's practice was to find a group of Jews who were meeting in a synagogue, and just like what I just said, he would point them to Moses, he would point them to the prophets, and he would say, Jesus of Nazareth was who they were talking about. He's the Messiah. He's made peace with sinful humanity and himself through Jesus Christ. Put your faith in what Jesus Christ did, his death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will be made into a friend of God. He will reconcile you. And that's what Paul did. So if we want to build each other up, we need to build each other up in the beauty of who Christ is. Yes? And so then, look at what Peter says. He says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, don't be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. If we want to build each other up, if I want to build myself up, I have to stop being conformed to the passions of my sinful nature, my flesh. But I conform my heart and mind to Scripture and to Jesus and his example. And so he goes on. He says, but as he who called you is holy, also be holy in all your conduct. So if we want to stand against false teachers, it involves remaining vigilant and building each other up. But here's the next one, praying in the Holy Spirit. This is another significant thing. praying in the Holy Spirit. Look at it, Jude 20. He's like, beloved, my brothers and sisters, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Look at what Paul said in Ephesians 6:18. He said, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Okay? People say a lot of things. Let me kind of posture what I think he's saying here at the very least. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 8. In Romans, Paul has been talking about how the law, Moses' law, could not bring forgiveness of sins. It just brought the reality that I'm a sinner, Paul said. And so he looks at it and he's like, this is how he's like, I know what I want to do. I know what I should do. The law tells me that. But sin takes the law and twists it and makes it so that I really want to do the opposite of what the law says. And he explains this dilemma that he has with sin. I know what I should do. I know what I shouldn't do. I don't do what I should do. And I do what I shouldn't do. And he says, who will rid me from this body of death, this sinful flesh that I have? Well, he's already explained in Romans that Jesus has broken the power of sin. He's already explained that we're freed. But the reality is we still are living in this body that we groan with. We're like, ugh, why am I like that? Why do I want that? Why do I crave that? And so he comes to Romans 8 and he starts talking about this beautiful thing that Jesus has done where he's given us the Spirit. Look at what he says. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now look at the example he gives. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. Look at this. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's will. If you want to pray in the Spirit, pray in harmony with God's will. That is the simplest explanation. The band got together this morning. They put everything together. They got it all plugged in. And they led us in worship. Do you know what it would have been like if nobody tuned? It would have not been good. If there's a common note that they all tune to. Now, Frankie doesn't. He kind of cheats because he has a digital and it already is taken care of for him. But if Matt didn't, and if Melody didn't, it would have been a train wreck. It's the same with our prayer life. If we don't pray in harmony with God's will, it's going to be a train wreck. It's going to feel off. If I could take a guitar and tune it using harmonics, you could really hear it. You play a note. Then I play the next string, and if the next string isn't right, you hear this. It's the sound waves conflicting. But if I hit it and I tune it, it will go. Now I know it's in tune. The sound wave is the same. Make sense? When we pray, pray in harmony with God's word. Look at this next one, James 4. You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Just to pause. If Jude is telling us, and Jesus has told us, and the apostles have told us that there are false teachers. We need to be praying for protection for High Point Church. If we don't ask for it, he says you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Does that make sense? Okay, but let's keep going. Here's a harsh thing. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Again, praying in harmony with God's will. What I pray is what I pray and what I desire for my family, for High Point Church, what God desires for us, what his will is. We can go through Paul's letters and we can see how he prayed for people. That is a great place to start. If you don't know what to pray, humbly say, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to pray. Help me pray in harmony with God's will. And then let me see how other people prayed. And what does Scripture say? May we not have seeking our pleasure, but the will of God. And then finally, Matthew 6:10, Jesus taught his disciples, pray your kingdom, the Heavenly Father's kingdom, come, your will be done. If you're struggling with prayer, here's something that I do really quick. It's a template, and I start with this, Heavenly Father. So I use my notes app on my iPhone and on my iPad. You could use your Google Docs or whatever. You could use an actual old-fashioned journal with a pen and paper and write it down. At the very least, do that. I'd encourage you, okay? Why? It's just a way of writing it down. And this is what I do. Heavenly Father, I want to praise and thank you for, and then I just make a bullet list as long as I can. As much, I try to do it every day. I don't do it every day, but I try to. Heavenly Father, I don't want to praise and thank you for, and it gets fun. Here's the next one. I want to pray for the following situations or people. I have a couple that I'm meeting with. They're getting ready to be married in December. So I pray for them. I pray for these specific things for them. There are people in our church who are sick. I pray for the deacons. I pray for the other pastors. I pray for you. I pray for my family. I pray for my kids, their wives. I pray for my granddaughter, Millie. I pray for my soon-to-be granddaughter who's coming. Okay, and then please help me to obey you regarding, and I make a list. These are things that I'm reading in Scripture or that I've heard in a sermon, or that someone has challenged me with. And you're like, oh, yeah. And then, please forgive me for, and make a list. And then you know what sometimes I do? I just exit out. Why? Because Hebrews says, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Okay? If we want to stand against false teachers, we need to pray in the Holy Spirit. Here's the next thing. Keeping ourselves in the love of God. Keeping ourselves in the love of God. Look at it. Jude 21, he starts off right away. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Right? So what does that look like? Well, you hear it all the time. Praise the Lord, you hear it all the time. Preach the gospel to yourself. Remember what Jesus has done for you. Think back through how deep he loves you. John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You mean me? Yes. You mean you? Yes. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Romans 5. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You mean, wait a second. You mean God knows every skeleton in my closet? Stuff I don't tell, no one else knows, except maybe one or two people or nobody. And he sent Jesus to die for me, to forgive me of that? Yes. May the love of God keep us. May the love of God keep us. He goes on in verse 10, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. I didn't include it, but the NLT says, and verse 11, it says that now that Christ has made us friends with God. In the olden days, they would make castles. And the castle had a keep. The keep was inside the walls, it was in the middle, and it was a tower where the king, his nobles, and his family would go when attacking armies would come. It was the safest place to be. They could hold out there. The psalmists describe God as a refuge. If we want to stand against false teachers, we have got to keep ourselves in the love of God. Why? When I'm blown away by God's love for me, I begin to love him more. And I begin to love what he loves. And that will keep me safe from false teachers who are trying to teach me things that he has not said. When I love God, I love what he has said. I want to do what he has said. You see what I'm saying? And so there's a protection when we keep ourselves in his love. It's interesting, Paul in Ephesians said, speak the truth to one another in love. And he wasn't saying, you know, if I go to La Feria and I have street tacos and I have, what's the green stuff? Cilantro. I have cilantro in between my two teeth. Speaking the truth isn't like, hey, Darren, you got cilantro in between your teeth. You sure? He's talking about, remember all these things that I've just said about Jesus and his love for you. And as you go through the rest of your life and as you get beat up and you have all these struggles and stuff like that, man, life, speak the truth and love to each other. Say no. Jesus loves you, man. Jesus loves you, girl. Stay faithful. Keep yourself in his love, right? That will help us stand. Look at 8:39, Romans 8:37 through 39. Paul writes, you're familiar with this. No, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I tell you, the love of God can keep you. Amen? And so we need to keep ourselves in his love. It will help us to stand against false prophets. We're going to jump ahead. Let's look at this. The next thing, waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. Jude 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Look at this. 2 Peter 3. Peter wrote, since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live. Looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and new earth he has promised. A world filled with God's righteousness. And so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. Waiting eagerly and patiently with anticipation for the return of Jesus will help us stand against false teachers. It will. It will help us to live blameless and pure lives. Look at what Paul said to Titus. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the Lord, the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. I have salvation now. I have eternal life now. I've received God's grace and mercy now. And what Jude is saying and what Paul says and the other apostles are saying is it's an already but not yet thing. I have his forgiveness, but there's going to come a day when this groaning body is going to actually be made new. And when Jesus Christ comes back, everything is going to be finalized. It's going to be done. Salvation will be 100% complete. The stuff that we struggle with right now is going to be over and done. And so Jesus said, he would tell stories and he would say, it's like a king leaving and going off to another place, and he leaves his servants in charge and he says, be good stewards. I'll come back someday. You don't know when. The ones who are faithful, the ones who are good stewards, he said what? Well done. The ones who weren't ready were caught. The idea is be ready. Be doing what we should be doing. Why? Because he will say, well done. There's a good, healthy fear of the Lord in that. And that will help us to stand against false teachers. Here's the last one. Showing mercy to all who need it. Look at it, verses 22 and 23. You must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. Jude's like, there's some of you reading this and you're wavering. You hear what you've been taught. You know God's word, but these people have snuck in and you're kind of like, ugh. Is there something more? Have I missed something? And you're wavering. And he says, hey, you guys who aren't wavering, show mercy. Show mercy. Point them to Jesus. Don't make your church like walking around on eggshells. Be gracious. Just pray for them, come alongside them, and be merciful. We all need mercy. I need mercy. And so, be merciful. But then, there may be this other group of people that are reading Jude, and they've believed some of the lies. And maybe they've even started to teach some of the things. They love Jesus, but they're just off. And it's really easy to just want to blast them. And Jude is like, look, show mercy to them. Be gentle. Point them to Jesus. Look at what Paul or James said. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth, grab them by the neck and drag them back in. No. He says, you bring them back. You can be sure whoever brings a sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. Look at what he told his readers in Galatia. Brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly, you should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. 2 Timothy 2, he says, gently instruct those who oppose the truth, those false teachers. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. What does a false teacher who is not a believer need most? The mercy of God. And so, I'm not saying be milquetoast. Jude's already said to contend for the faith, right? But there's a way, right? And so may we be challenged. Standing against false teachers involves remaining vigilant, building each other up, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping ourselves in the love of God. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't run to God yet. May you put your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Put your faith in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And then begin this new life as you walk by faith and remain in his love. He will keep you safe. And then wait for his return and show mercy to all who need it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you, we praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you for Jude and his challenge and the apostles, how they weren't perfect, but they pointed people to you, what you taught. They pointed people to your word. May we be as faithful. May we build each other up. And may we stand against false teachers. God, I pray that we would keep ourselves in your love. Thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing together.